Well, Todrick P. Butts is back home, and he still hasn't given us an intro, so obviously we're high on the priority list. It's the Soderstrom bubble. Welcome. I'm Scotty Wells. That's Jen, the NHL History Girl.
Maybe our intro now is just you complaining that we don't have one.
Just a remix of that?
Yeah.
Every time, and then just an odd voice going the Soderstrom bubble, and then that's the intro.
Yep.
That's the intro. Well, it's playoff time.
Playoffs!
To re-record this, we've only had, what, two overtime games, I think?
Yep, two.
Caps game, and then Vegas is game two.
Yep.
So, hooray. Talking some overtime games today. We'll talk playoff formats today, and we got new cards. So, hopefully we get new stories. Hooray.
Yeah.
So, overtime, obviously, everyone loves overtime in the playoffs because it just doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going and going. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just like, why doesn't this happen in the regular season? Well, no, we don't have that kind of time. Don't have that kind of time. But there have been pretty fantastic playoff games that have overtime implications. But obviously the longest one is the one people forget the most.
Yeah. Well, it happened in 1936. So it's a pretty far
80 some years ago.
Yeah. Probably the only person you might vaguely remember is Stan Fischler. So 1936 playoffs, you have the Maroons and the Red Wings, the longest game ever played. It started at 8:30 p.m. the Montreal Forum, ended at 2:25 a.m. Scoreless until the sixth overtime, when Mud Bruneteau scored on Maroons goaltender Lauren Chabot to win the game.
What a name, Mud.
Yeah.
It's a Primus song.
Well, his real name was Modere. So, you know, Modere Mud. Mm-hmm. His brother played, too. Anyway.
Dirt?
He coached the Omaha Knights, by the way, later in life. So, there's a fun fact. Anyway, Bruneteau was not... he wasn't really an NHLer. He had just been called up to the Red Wings like 2 weeks earlier. And so, you know, he was pretty new at the NHL thing.
Just at the pace of play and all that stuff, I guess, too. And
right.
The travel and... To be called up, like, at that time of the year, too. Like, that's a huge thing. It would have been better if you said it started at 8 o'clock at the Forum and then ended at 2:45 in the Olympia. Like, that would have been even better.
That would have been quite the thing.
Yeah.
He scored at 16:30 of the sixth overtime.
Jesus. Like, that's almost, like, end of sixth overtime.
They played 116:30 of total overtime. And that was the first game in the series. Like, that's how they opened the series. The NHL president was there, and they were asking for permission to, like, reflood the ice, give the players a break, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, nope, just, you know, do a scrape. It'll be fine. And that was it. That was all they got. It was insane. So.
That's pretty absurd. And I'm sure, like. In today's game, if that happens, people would be complaining, why is the game so long? Why are we playing so late? To blah, blah, blah. Like the normal excuses they make now.
Yeah.
For the playoffs.
There have been a couple of games that had to be cut off at midnight because they were played on a Saturday night and the state they were being played in had like a blue law. So they had to just cut the game off at midnight. That was that. And pick it up either another time or not at all. So that was...
As we live in a state that still has blue laws, it is an odd situation.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Dumb.
Yeah. The goalie, Normie Smith, Red Wings goalie. Had to make 90 saves.
Wow.
Yeah. And the here it is. The ice became so bad, the forum supervisor suggested to NHL President Campbell a game be paused long enough to, for them to reflood the rink. Campbell refused, insisting that only a 10-minute rest between periods was the only necessity. So that was it.
Why didn't they ride in Montreal then? Like, that's absurd.
Yeah. I mean, you have the guy in charge of the ice going, look, this is too bad to skate on. Mm-hmm. And the president's like, screw you, keep playing.
Right.
So
player safety wasn't a thing then, let's be honest.
No.
Like, the only reason they had an all-star game is one guy almost died. So.
Yeah. So that's the tale of the longest overtime game.
Like, ever in any era.
Yeah.
Whereas when you look at the...
There's a Swedish game this year or last year? This year? That went... more overtimes. Mm-hmm. And so it holds the new record for like longest overtime hockey game, but not.
Mm-hmm. It was last year. It was Norwegian.
Was it Norwegian?
It was the Storhamar Dragons beating the Sparta Warriors 2-1. 8.5 hours when the games from the game start. 8 overtimes it took. started at 6 p.m. local time, ended 2:32 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah.
So.
And the guy who scored the winning goal said that his legs have been cramping since the fourth or fifth overtime, and he just wanted to go to bed.
217 minutes and 14 seconds, new record in hockey.
Yeah.
So, pretty wacky. Pretty, pretty wacky happenstance. And of the next game... that's the next longest in the NHL history is, I believe it's still this.
Ken Doherty?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Another 1-0 game, 6 OTs.
Yep.
Game 5 of the Stanley Cup final. Right?
Yeah.
Or semifinal?
I don't know. No, it was a semifinal.
Okay.
So, yeah. It was a semifinal.
So, Toronto 1-0, Ken Doherty with the winner there. Modern time, Keith Primeau, I believe.
Yes.
Beating the Penguins 2-1, 5 overtimes, beat Ronnie Tugnutt, a slap shot, I think just above the circles, ping bar down, won the game. I remember watching that game as it happened. That was the conference semis in 2000. Then Anaheim over Dallas in 2003, I believe is another one.
Yep.
And then, of course, something called Peter Nedved. Hey, look, the Caps lost in a... God damn it.
The next one on the list is Vancouver Dallas 2007. I remember watching that one because I had to be up for work at like 6:30 in the next morning. Mm. So that was a good time. And small child.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a really good time.
Yeah, so, I mean, long games, a lot of overtime heroes, this, that, and the other. And a lot of people remember, like, the overtime hero games or the long overtime games.
Sure, like the Peter Klima.
What's that one?
Oh, wait, was it Klima? The one where he came in off the bench, he hadn't played? Yeah.
You had to go a little further into that.
He hadn't played since, like, the early part of the third period.
Mm.
And then he finally gets into the game in overtime and scores.
Hmm. Is that Edmonton, I assume?
Yeah. Yep.
Either Edmonton or Detroit in his younger days.
It was Edmonton.
What other? There's a lot of guys who are OT heroes. I mean.
Yeah. The one that you're gonna see on the list a couple of times, aside from Peter Sikora, apparently. I think he's on this list twice. But anyway, there's a guy named Mel Hill, who back in 1939 played for the Bruins. He was right wing for the Bruins. And they were playing the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs. And the series had 4 OT games. And he scored the game winner in three of them. So he got the nickname Sudden Death. Mel Sudden Death Hill.
Good name.
He set a record for scoring three overtime goals in a single series. So, and fun fact about that series, the Rangers were the first team in NHL history to force a game seven after losing the first three games of the series. So, the series was notable for two things.
Yeah, it was a big, big series there.
Yeah, and then the crazy thing about the 1993 playoffs is there was a ton of overtime games. I mean, there were probably, I think there was only one series without an overtime game, two, in the entire playoffs that year. All but two round or two series had overtime games. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You go down the line, and you have the Bruins versus the Sabres. You have three overtime games. You look at the Nords Habs. You have three overtime games. Pens Devils didn't have any. Islanders Caps had three overtime games in a row. Two OT, one OT, and then two OT. You go down the line. The Blackhawks and Blues only had one OT game. The Wings and Leafs had two OT games. The Canucks, the Jets had two OT games. The Kings Flames didn't have any, so that's the other series that didn't have any. But then you get to the division finals, and you've got the Sabres versus the Habs. You have three OT games in a row. And then the Pens versus the Islanders, you have an OT game. You have the Leafs versus the Blues. You have two OT in a row. So first game is 2-OT, the second game is 2-OT. The next one, you have the Kings Canucks. You have a double overtime there. And then the Islanders versus the Habs, you have 2-OT and an OT in a row. Then you have the Kings versus the Maple Leafs. You have 2-OT in a row. And then the Cup Final, you have 3-OT games in a row. So when the Habs won the Cup, you add all of that up. They won 11 overtime games. They played and won 11 overtime games on their way to the Cup. It's crazy.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit considering they... What were the record that year, I guess, is the question. I mean... I think they were otherwise dominant.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
They were a pretty strong team that year.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, even if they played 24 games, like, almost half your games were in overtime. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy talk.
Well, and the thing was, the first game in that series, Patrick Watt let in, like, two weak goals. And afterward, I mean, they won the game. No, wait, sorry. The Nordiques won that game. Because Patrick Watt let in two weak goals. The next day, the papers in Patrick Watt's hometown district were saying that he should be traded. Meanwhile, the Nordiques goaltending coach Dan Bouchard was announcing that his team had solved Patrick Watt. In the meantime, Jacques Demers is over in his office saying, "Don't worry, I promised you, Patty, I will start you in the playoffs, and that's what I'm going to do." So he kept to his promise to keep starting Wah. So it's kind of a weird...
That was that 4-1 game, huh? Game two? Or was that the overtime game that they...
It was after the second game, the 4-1 game.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And then they reeled off 11 straight wins.
Yeah.
Because they swept through Buffalo.
Yep.
They only played 20 games, so more than half their games that year were in overtime.
Yep.
Including three in the Cup Final.
Yep.
Jesus.
So, yeah, they played, I think they played 11 OT games and they won 10. Because the first one they lost to the Nordiques.
Right.
So I miscounted. Yeah.
Yeah, they won every OT game except for the very first game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So. It's It's absurd. Like, how do you have the legs, like, even through that much of a game and then having to do overtime? And then by the time you get to the cup final where you have three straight overtimes, it's just like, gee, how?
Right.
I mean, it's a good thing, like, they were off May 24th to June 1st, so they had a bit of time there.
Yeah.
But, what other I'm trying to look at notable games, overtime games. Bobby Bonn.
Yep.
That's one of the overtime games that people.
Yeah, he took a puck off the ankle and broke his fibula, which is basically the part of the ankle bone. So he cracked it pretty well. And so he gets himself back into the game. And then he runs off and hides between games. So the team doctor can't examine him and take him out of the series. Like, he literally gets off the team train and takes off for a friend's place out in the country and hides out. Nobody can find him. And then he waits until like half an hour, 20 minutes before the next game. And he shows up at the arena. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Slaps on his pads and gets out there because there's no time for the doctor to examine him. It's just this crazy, crazy story. Like, he was going to play no matter what.
More heart than sense, in all honesty.
Yeah.
The Miracle in Manchester. That was a hell of a game. Kings, Edmonton Oilers.
That is the very definition of a comeback. And the anniversary of that was just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I remember because I tweeted about it.
36 years.
Yep.
5-0, the Edmonton Oilers are up after the second period of Game 3 of the semifinal. Kings go on to score 6 unanswered, including Darrell Evans' goal in OT at 2:35.
Yes.
And those lovely purple and yellow concoctions that look like the old Flyers jerseys. Where it had the sleeve down the sleeve and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Brian Skrudlin, 9 seconds, shortest overtime in 86 that same year. Mm-hmm. Shortest overtime in NHL history. Peter Klima, yeah, in 1990.
Yeah.
That was the one you're thinking about. The Brad May, the May Day goal.
Yep.
Stefan Matteau. David Volek. Killing the three-peat for the Penguins back in 93. That's a big yes. game there for the Islanders.
Yes.
Big game for everyone. I don't have to see that damn robo-penguin anymore.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't the 99 game winner?
96 and 99 game winners.
Or cup winners?
Yeah, cup winners. 96 was Uwe Krupp.
Yep.
Triple OT on that one.
Yes.
I was in Ocean City, Maryland for that. Watching that game. 1-0. Just a slap shot from the point. Everyone was just like tired of Van Beesbrook. Couldn't pick it up. 1-0 game there again. And of course, yeah, the Brett Hull goal.
Yeah, the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact. Before the game started, the Sabres owners had put out bottles of maple, like little bottles of maple syrup for the for press row. So like everyone on press row got like a little bottle of maple syrup. I don't know why, but that was, I remember I wrote a little column on that game. And that was the opener. You know, is that they all got a bottle of maple syrup, and by the time the game was over, they were ready for breakfast. Like,
right,
you know.
Yeah, I had pancakes.
Yeah.
A year later, Jason Arnott scored on Eddie Belfour in double OT to get the Devils the Stanley Cup win, another cup winner there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot recent ones that were too memorable for the length of time or what have you.
No.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't, you know, we don't really go in past triple, it seems. Or past double, it seems like.
Not really.
So.
Not usually.
Now watch, we're going to have a couple games do that today.
I'll stay up and watch because I don't care.
I'll stay up and watch because I'm off till Wednesday, so. Hooray. Yeah, then, you know, you look at the KHL, the longest game the KHL had was this past year. 82 minutes of overtime length, 5 overtimes.
Hmm.
So, had that going for him. Yeah, and the only two overtime games in the Olympics playoffs this year,
mm-hmm.
when OAR won,
mm-hmm.
and 2010 when Crosby won. The only two gold medal games that went into overtime. And take two, because no one will ever know we had to take one. It's going to act like it's all been together, all pinned together as one. No one will know that we lost like 20 minutes of our lives there. So, formats.
Yes.
Fun formats. What do you like the format now? Everyone hates the format now, apparently, even though 2 years ago they loved it.
You know, it's whatever to me. Mm. It's hard to be invested in the format because you know there's going to be another expansion team and you know they're going to change one more thing and you know that they're going to, you know, it's always, we're going to tinker with one more thing. So
I don't know how much you can change the format unless you get rid of the wild card stuff.
Yeah.
And then you do what the ECHL does and AHL top four in each division.
Mm-hmm.
However, the format has changed a lot of times over the years. Starting off when the league started in 1917. So the regular season was split into two halves. The winner of those two halves faced off against each other in a two-game total goal series, so an aggregate series. And the winner of that of the NHL championship then would face off against the PCHA champion for the best of five for the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
That went on for years. Like the two-game total goal, two-game total goal, two-game total goal.
Yep.
They stopped the PCHA situation when the NHL took sole control of the Cup in 26. And then in 28-29, they did a different thing, whereas they had a Canadian division and an American division.
Yep.
The top teams in the American division and Canadian division will face off against each other in a best of five,
mm-hmm.
whereas the second place in each division and the third place in each division would play two games total goals. And the winners of the second place and third place game would face off against each other for the right to play in a best of five series or best of three series for the Stanley Cup against the top teams, the winners of each division.
Yeah.
So that's not convoluted. That happened all the way until 31-32 when it just changed to two game total goal for everything except for the first in division and the Stanley Cup final. And then in 38-39. Is when they went to first versus second, best of seven, third versus fourth, best of three, fifth versus sixth, best of three. And then the third, fourth game, and the fifth, sixth game winners would play each other, best of three. And then the Stanley Cup final would be the winner of the second, third, fourth, or the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and the first and second.
Yeah,
that's like the when I look through the formats, it goes 1-2-1-1 versus like the 78-1 versus 3-2 versus 4. I'm like, that's not how.
Yeah.
No, guys, no, it's not how you do it. And then you go to 74-75, 1-8 was in that one for the other mm-hmm. things, and then. Really, the drastic one is one that people keep bringing up is what happened when the WHA came into it and 1 through 16.
Yes.
Everything was 1 through 16, best of five. Then they went to best of seven in the second round. And
well, and they reseeded too. Like like before that, your seeding stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
But after the merger, they reseeded at the beginning of each round.
This is what they do when they did 1-8. Not too long ago, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then 81-82, they brought back the divisional matchups.
Mm-hmm. Which lasted until 93-94.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because then it was conferences.
Right. And you did 1-8, and then now we have what we have today with the wild card and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind.
Yeah.
Make everything shorter, though.
Yeah.
Let's do best of five. Let's do 76 games. Let's do something. Best of seven conference final and Stanley Cup final. Sure. Great. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need this long games.
No.
I don't need this long games. And I mean, if you're going to change format, if you're going to do 1-16, you might as well just do it college style. Top four teams in the division. get a top four seats. 12 at-large bids, everybody. Doesn't matter who the hell you are. The stats nerds will love it. People who love tournament time will love it. People in Vegas who want to bet will love it. Like, that's it. That's what we need to do.
Pairwise.
Pairwise it up. Where a team can get to the 10th spot by 0.1 thousandth of a percent.
And win everything.
And win the whole damn thing.
Yep.
That would be typical hockey.
Yeah.
Right there. best of fives all the way through. And then you get to the thing. 76-game season. Book it. Make it happen.
Yep. I like the 76 games. It's the games have more meaning. The games have more weight. Mm-hmm. And the end of the season gets weirder.
Yeah.
And I'm all for the wacky end of season.
And let's
all for it.
Yeah. And I mean, if players want this bye week thing, there's more time in between games now.
Yeah.
We'd have the season done by May.
Yes.
The end of May would be perfect.
Yeah. There's no reason to have the Stanley Cup awarded on a Tuesday and the award show like that Saturday, you know, like
not even that, like it's that Wednesday, cuz it's always the Wednesday of the draft.
Well, sure, but I mean,
so
it's
still way too close.
It's all too close. Yeah. Like, you should not have the Stanley Cup being awarded 2 weeks before the beginning of free agency. Like,
right.
Like, calm yourselves.
All right, dumb.
We don't need 24/7, 365 hockey. We just don't.
You people need to get hobbies.
You have families.
You have families to tend to.
Go outside.
Enjoy it. Because then you have no right to bitch. You have a right to bitch about the weather during hockey season, though. I mean, Christ.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, overall, the season is too long. I mean, we talk about the overtimes and beforehand.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Like, think about the overtimes, like, in June. It's just like, ugh.
Yep.
You can watch some maybe meaningful baseball. Like, it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. Like, we need to get done over with, and then, you know, because all the, is it October yet? No, stop.
June hockey just interferes with everything. Because you have no time off before the award show, before the draft, before free agency. You know, it just, bam, it's July before anyone has any meaningful time off. And then before you know it, everyone's at the invitation camps and the training camps. And then we're off again for another season. Like, it's, we need more than a month and a half.
Okay, yeah.
Off.
Kind of really sick of everything.
Yeah. I think I've noticed I'm achieving burnout, like, faster and faster every year, because everything is so crowded together.
Mm-hmm.
And I need time away too. So.
And I don't care how much you love hockey, there has to be a breaking point. Like, yeah. if you're over the age of 12, like, you can have things to do, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the case against kids playing all year.
Right.
Like, just like they're going to burn out sooner, or get injured a lot sooner, you know, or a lot more frequent, rather.
Plus, it's bad for your development to play one sport year-round.
Yeah, because you're going to miss everything else, like just hand-eye coordination of baseball.
Baseball, lacrosse.
Like football.
Football.
Like it's
golf.
Yeah.
I mean,
some kind of patience and hand-eye coordination and skill development.
Yep.
Like, honestly, like it doesn't make a bit of sense that we're playing this long all the time. I mean, how many times do I do, like, an injury report, and, like, the list is, like, freaking a page and a half long because everyone's got a groin injury early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a thing as over conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and plus, you're shortening your career by playing at that high level intensity that long every year. You're shortening your career.
Wrestlers call it a bump card. You only have so many punches on your bump card.
Yeah.
Before it's done.
Yep.
And I think a lot of guys in hockey start to get that too. Mm-hmm. Like, hell, if you got, I mean, a guy like Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. Started at 18. Hell, Connor McDavid, too. Like, he can't keep up this torrid pace.
No.
I mean, you see Ovechkin, who came in at 20, and you see him burning out at 32, 33.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
Yeah, and you notice how people are making a bigger deal now about guys getting to the 1,000-game mark?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's happening
less and less
frequently.
Yeah.
So.
Because the old guard used to play till May, and that was it, and they're done.
Yeah.
And, like, playoff games don't count against this record, so I'm leaving. See you guys later. I'll take a healthy scratch, sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Formats. I'm fine with the way it is. I don't care. Like, it's really the longevity of the actual thing that bothers me the most.
Yeah, I would much rather have a shorter season with more meaningful games, to be honest.
Yeah. And that way, it actually means something, and players are resting more, and they're not traveling as much, and they're not getting burned out as much. And
right, and they're not rushing to get back into the playoff game.
Or rushing to get into a game in general. Like, guys are rehabbing really quickly, and it's almost a detriment to them.
Yeah, it's great that you heal fast and all, but did you heal safe?
Mm-hmm. Did you heal properly?
Yeah.
Like, you'll see, a guy, oh, no, my shoulder's fine. I got a big bump in the middle where it just, fused wrong. So, but no, you had to get out there for, game 73 against the Coyotes.
Yeah, Max Pacioretty.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be out 8 weeks, and he came back in four, and I'm like, dude, no.
I think the only exception to that rule is Alfredson going out for knee surgery and being back, missing a game. And he got a scope, and he's, nah, he's fine.
Yeah.
But, overall, it's just
a scope is, very minimally invasive, so, you know.
Still, though, that's pretty big. That's still knee surgery. You still have to be knocked out for that. You still have to take care of it and all.
Yeah, although with that one, they do it same day, and then you leave the hospital. They don't generally give you crutches or anything. They're like, all right, see you later.
Yeah, they kind of keep your range of motion still, though. Any surgery of any
kind.
Just
take a day or two, right? It's okay.
People breathe. Breathe out there. It's hockey. It's fine. You're going to be okay, guys.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway. That's my little rant. I'm probably going to write something about that this week, too. Let's shorten it all. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Tired of the long stuff. That's why we're going short podcasts, even though we had 40 minutes. Whatever. We bought more hockey cards, so we don't have to have this. I bought more hockey cards. I'm saying we, because we can maybe write this off as a thing, but you do the bit. So. Fuck you.
I was there when you bought them, so it counts.
So we have our score. We'll probably go back to that later. But we also have 1991 Upper Deck and 1991 and 1992 Parker. Same season, just different series. I will ask you to pick two where I should pull from. Score, Parker's 1, Parker's 2, or Upper Deck?
Two. Let's pick two Parkers this time.
Series 1 or Series 2?
Series 2.
All right. So we'll go 2 Parkers, Series 2, 1992. Your high number set. You'll have a lot of rookies. You'll have a lot of traded guys.
Oh, God help me.
All right, here we go. Packaging, great. Look at that. Oh, boy. All right. Here we go. First one, Louis DeBrusque. Anything on Louis?
Yeah. He and his son just matched total playoff output.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Two goals.
And his son's only played, 2 playoff seasons.
Yeah.
And Louis was there. Louis was a rookie in this year, so this is his rookie card. Wow, these cards are stuck together. My God. The Upper Deck cards weren't this stuck together. Norm MacGyver, anything on that?
No.
Adam Foote rookie card.
Adam Foote.
I think his son just signed a deal, too.
Yes, he did.
God, all these kids.
Yeah.
Anything here on the back? Not really much. Maneuverability, tenacious character. He played for a while.
He did. He was one of my sister's favorite players, actually. Him and Hayduk and Paul Kariya. Mm. Those were... He fought Bob Probert once.
That was the last time he did that. All right, so nothing on him offhand.
Not really.
Another one probably you don't have anything on. Neil Wilkinson.
I did at one point, but...
He was one of the guys who was the Sharks picked from the Minnesota North Stars after the Minnesota North Stars picked.
Yeah.
During that dispersal expansion, some kind of garbage draft.
That was really weird.
Eric Hweinrich.
Trying to remember.
From Roanoke, Virginia. How about that?
No.
Hweinrich, one of the few players to get clearance to wear a tinted visor after he had a concussion. So he wore the yellow tinted visor after his concussion and got clearance to wear that.
Hmm.
Because they used to kind of bog down on that.
Yeah.
I mean, Ovi had to get rid of his smoke glass when he got into the league. So.
Yep.
Probably another one you don't have anything on, Robert Dirk.
No. Well, no.
MVP top defense in the Regina Pats, according to his card. Mark Pettersson?
No.
Mark Recchi?
Mark Recchi. He was the guy to beat in training camp. I think I said that last time. What was it I just found out about him? It was just this week, too. I can't remember.
Something called a Lee Norwood from Oakland, California.
Nope.
He has a lot. He played like 500 games and don't know this guy. Played for the Caps, too. But the early Caps, the crappy Caps. Whatever. Bobby Holik. What do you got on Big Bobbo?
He kind of got stashed in a closet before the draft.
Why?
All right, so Bobby, hang on a second here, I'll find the story. His son, he's the son of Yaroslav Holik, world champion 1972 hockey, and he was the Czech national team head coach for the U-20 team. Bobby Holik, here's a better one. He used to eat apples whole, like core and everything. It's kind of a crazy thing. Anyway, he was in the Czech Republic, and he came over to the States, and nobody was sure if he was, nobody knew where he was, really, and nobody knew if he would come over. So the Whalers kind of had him stashed and like stashed away.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
First choice, 10th overall in 89.
Yeah, because their, you know, teams are kind of fighting over him. So,
Ken Priestley.
No.
And for this pack, the end of this pack, Darcy Walkalot.
I can never spell his name.
It's a fun name to say. Also, first goaltender in the AHL to score a goal by shooting it down the ice, 1987.
Yeah.
The Rochester Amherst.
He had that wacky hairstyle.
Yeah.
It was like preppy in the front, mullet in the back, and then he had that stash. It was an odd look.
Very odd man himself. all right, pack number two. Parker's owned by Proset, which I'm surprised there are not more errors. Oh, these old cards. All right. Here we go. First one in this one, John McIntyre.
No.
Mike Craig.
Mike Craig.
Yeah, Mike Craig. For the Minnesota North Stars.
I know that name is really familiar. Oh, the last former active... He was the last active former North Star in the league. That's why I know his name.
There you go. Martin Jelena.
Who?
Martin Jelena.
Oh.
The Eliminator for Calgary back in 2004.
Yes. He's an assistant coach now, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Dean Evanson, who is an assistant coach.
He has a hockey card where he's, I'm pretty certain it's him. He's lying on the back of like a ski, like a...
Ski-doo?
Yeah, like a snowmobile. There we go. And he is feeding deer, like, out of his hands. And he's wearing his Oilers jersey.
Sounds right.
Yeah, so he's lying on the back of a snowmobile in his Oilers jersey, and he's feeding deer out of his hand. That's his hockey card.
We stopped again, it looks like.
The hell?
Unless, well, no, I think it's still going. I just see, because I see this little thing here. Haha, we're still going.
Oh, never okay.
Mind. Anyway. number 31 for the Chicago Blackhawks, Dominik Hasek. The Dominator. These beautiful Brian Airpack pads.
Oh, he had this really terrible habit of forgetting his wallet and his passport.
It's kind of difficult to do.
Yeah, like he just would constantly, like that's kind of what he was known for. A, he was kind of standoffish, and B, he was forever losing his wallet and his passport.
Chris Lindberg of the Flames.
No.
I don't even know that guy. Gideon Duchesne.
Yeah, there are stories about him. Trying to think of one. A good one off the top of my head. No.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Let
me. Yeah, no. Oh.
Tony Tanti. Sean Leahy's old fantasy hockey team name.
Everybody loves Tony Tanti.
Vancouver legend.
He was kind of a prankster. Fun loving guy. Yeah.
Michel Goulet. Papa. Love it when you call me big. Papa.
I think I've already told the Goulet story.
I think you did previous yeah. episode. Igor Kravchuk. Anything good on rookie Igor Kravchuk?
Not off the top of my head.
Craig Willanen. Son just getting into the league at the end of the year.
Nothing too spectacular.
And rookie, number 14, Stu Burns!
Another practical joker. Yes. Okay, here's the thing about Tony Tanti.
Oh, here we go.
At first, he was, like, super shy. Like he was so shy that one of his teammates wanted to pull him aside and slap some sense into him.
Wow.
Because they thought he was so snobbish and standoffish. And he was just really shy. He liked his privacy. And, you know, he loosened up. But, yeah, at first he was so shy that his teammates didn't really like him. So that's a good way to start off as a rookie.
Right. You just want to keep to yourself, and then that happens. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. We've done it. We've done another show. Hooray. Took us a couple attempts, but we did it.
Yeah.
People can find you.
NHL History Girl.
Find me at Scotty Wolf. Find the show at SDR Strong Bubble. We do have a Patreon. We have a Patreon for the entire Face Off Hockey Show Network. If you want to go ahead, go to patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. All the stuff there goes to the show, making it better, making our travel arrangements a little bit easier. All that fun stuff. You can be like Sean or Angela or Brian or Damon or Mark or Trista or Mitch or Chris or Ethan or Matthew. All these people, they contributed. You can too. Go to patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. And the fun stuff there. That's it. That's all. For Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself. And someone else has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. BlogTalkRadio.com/Face Off Hockey Show. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye. Bye.